This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, joining us on the BetDSI guest line, where you can enter promo code WIN125 to get in on the action. Well, go to BetDSI.com and enter promo code WIN125 and get on the action. Now, joining us on the BetDSI guest line is columnist Bob Glauber from Newsday. Bob, welcome into the show. You're with David and Carla.
Hi, thanks for having me. Sorry I'm late. I have an excuse. Odell Beckham and Eli Manning and the Giants controversy kept me there late. I apologize.
Well, let's hear about it, Bob. You got to tell us the skinny.
Well, you know, I mean, Odell Beckham had some pretty strong things to say on Sunday in the ESPN interview. Made it kind of clear that he was not too happy in New York and wondered whether Eli Manning is the problem in the Giants' passing game, and kind of wondered whether his team had enough heart and energy, and that didn't really go over too well with the coach and the quarterback. We did talk to Eli Manning today. He was, you know, typical Eli Manning. He was kind of, you know, was not going to really react to it. He did have a kind of a clever line, and, you know, during that interview, Odell Beckham appeared with Lil Wayne, and so Eli Manning says, well, I really don't watch Lil Wayne too much, so I don't know what was in it. And he handled it in his usual Eli Manning, I'm not going to make any waves kind of you know, vibe there. So I think he defused it for now, but I don't think you forget things like that Odell Beckham said.
You know, a question for you, Bob, about that situation. So in the locker room for the Giants, who is the leader? Is it Eli or is it OBJ? Because really, Odell Beckham's comments today were, hey, I galvanized our locker room. And my thought is, well, I didn't know you were the leader. And secondly, you weren't galvanizing. You were cleaning up the mess you made. So who really is the leader in there?
It's a very good point. I think Eli Manning is still the leader of that locker room. Odell Beckham clearly has a high standing in it. And it's kind of a weird, you know, it looks weird from afar, and it's pretty weird up close because, you know, the guy is an incredibly talented player, and he got his money, $95 million contract. He's the highest paid receiver in football. But there's still this, you know, he's still trying to find his way as a leader, as a you know, what he says is a mature player, and there's some immaturity in what he has done and what he has said. So, you know, it's a constant struggle to see who is that leader. Eli Manning clearly has the respect of his team. He has the respect of his teammates, and he has the respect of his coaches. But, you know, his play has kind of suffered in the last couple of years, and, you know, I don't think he is above criticism. So it's kind of an odd dynamic, and it's, you know, it's hard to figure out, and it's hard to know exactly where this thing's going to go. But Pat Shurmur, the first year coach, does have an issue on his hands, because, you know, Ben McAdoo and Tom Coughlin before him could really not get a hold of what Odell Beckham was all about, and they had problems dealing with him. And I think the same is going to be true of Pat Shurmur. He's a high maintenance receiver, and we've seen what they have done to teams before. He's not T.O. He's not a destructive guy in terms of he's not going to blow up a team, but, you know, he might. You know, there might be some brush fires along with him.
So, if you're the Giants brass, would you have given him that contract? Would you have given OBJ that big contract?
Yes, I would have. You know, he outplayed his rookie contract, and unless you're going to be committed to trading him, which they were not, I think that the entire time they were planning on re-signing him and extending his contract. So I think it was not a surprise. This is what you get with him, and he's not going to completely change. He has matured to some degree over the years, but, you know, he's still a very, I don't want to say flighty, but flighty kind of, you know, he's just his own guy. And it's a different world with him, and it's a different vibe with him. And, you know, there's a lot of players on that team that adore him. And Eli Manning has adored him in the past. But, you know, when you start kind of questioning whether your quarterback has it, You know, I think that crosses a line, and I'm sure Eli Manning's going to be aware of it. And, you know, don't forget, you're talking about a quarterback who has never, ever hinted at criticism of a teammate publicly. Never. And this is 14-plus years in New York. We have asked him countless times about teammates, about, you know, whether a guy missed an assignment, about whether a blocker, you know, missed a block. He will never, ever single a player out or a unit of the team out, and that's a hallmark of his career. That's why he is so universally respected on the team and around the league.
We're talking to Bob Glauber. He's a columnist for Newsday. So, Bob, of course, the Giants took Saquon Barkley number two, and they could have had Sam Darnold, who is now with the Jets and had a pretty good day yesterday. We noted you wrote an article about how he's maturing and playing well. Do the Jets feel they've got the guy they wanted?
Yes, I think they do feel like they got the guy they wanted, and I think they feel very good about Sam Darnold's development. Look, it's very early in the process, and as a writer who grew up at the feet of Bill Parcells and learned hard lessons from him time after time, I've learned that you don't put these guys in the Hall of Fame right off the bat. So, okay, I get that. And it's still very early for Sam Darnold. But I will say that the guy is extremely serious about football. It is his number one priority. And he has the physical tools to get it done. And I think, as importantly as that, he has got the psychological makeup to be a guy who can kind of take the bullets early on and kind of take the criticism, see what's going on, feel it, understand it, and own up to his mistakes, yet also see that, you know, he's got a lot of potential and that his confidence is pretty high, and he's a very even-keeled guy. I was talking to Kelvin Beachum, the left tackle of the Jets yesterday, and that's what he likes best about Sam Darnold, is the fact that the guy is the same. He is the same guy who walked in the door back in April, and, you know, he even said he's got the same hair, same beard, same deal. And that's what you need in a quarterback. You need a level-headed guy, a consistent guy, and a guy who's going to be there through the ups and downs and be willing to kind of weather that and get through it. And I think Darnold is that kind of guy.
I agree with you, Bob. I mean, just take away the fact that I did go to USC. We will ignore that. But I do think, sort of, had to
go.
Get in that plug.
It's always part of the dialogue.
But I didn't want him to come out early. I did think he needed another year to just fine-tune things. However, I think he is really special because he's got the intangibles that we saw on his rookie debut, Monday Night Football. First pass is an interception. Are you kidding me? And his expression doesn't change. Nothing changes. And then he comes back and has a record-setting, you know, basically just a beatdown of the Detroit Lions. I mean, that to me said everything you needed to know about who Sam Darnold is and what can be expected going forward.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because I talk about Eli Manning and how he will never sell out a player or a coach. And Darnold has a very similar dynamic to him. And on that interception, that really wasn't his fault. Yes, he threw the pass, and it shouldn't have been thrown. That was a poorly designed play by the offensive coordinator, Jeremy Bates. And Bates is the guy who fessed up that, you know, he didn't properly, you know, diagnose and diagram that play. And the safety got it, and, you know, it was interception. They threw that pass, I believe, in the next game, and it was almost intercepted again. So, you know, that wasn't on Sam Darnold, but he owned up to it. He says, hey, my mistake. You know, what should you have done differently? Shouldn't have thrown it. Well, nonsense. They had every intention of throwing that pass, and they wanted to catch the Lions napping, and they wanted to make a big, you know,
splash
play for Sam Darnold on his first pass. But there was signs there that how he dealt with that and how he overcame it and had a great game.
We're talking to Bob Glauber. He's a columnist for Newsday. So, Bob, there's another rookie quarterback, Baker Mayfield, who is making really significant progress for the Cleveland Browns. How do you assess Mayfield versus Darnold thus far?
You know, it's a really good comparison, and it's an interesting one. I think we're going to talk about that for years to come.
Yep.
I happened to be at the game where Mayfield made his debut, and it was against Sam Darnold, and he looked terrific. Now, here's the thing, though. A guy coming off the bench, sometimes it's easier to do that, but I think that Mayfield has, I guess, the right temperament about him for the NFL, and I say I guess because I still need to be convinced over time that he has the right dynamic and the right personality for the NFL. Very high profile and very, you know, high confidence and high energy guy, and sometimes a cocky guy. And I think cocky quarterbacks, the history of guys who kind of puff their chests and do those kinds, there aren't that many guys who have been like that. But, you know, it's a humbling position, and let's see how Mayfield does. I think he's got his team believing in him. I think he's got his coaches believing in him, and I think he's got the city of Cleveland believing in him. And believe me, that is a very important thing for a team that has been beaten down for just so many years since the team returned to Cleveland after Art Modell took the Browns to Baltimore and turned them into the Ravens. So I'm excited for the guy. I'm excited for the city, and it's fun to watch him. The guy is a great. He's a showman, and he's a lot of fun to watch. Sometimes those kind of guys get in trouble. They maybe make that pass, that ill-advised pass, a little bit too often and gets them in trouble. But let's see. So far, a great start for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, it's so interesting you mentioned the temperament, because from my view, when I look at a lot of great quarterbacks, well, look at the temperament of Tom Brady and Troy Aikman. And guys, they are all sort of focused and even keeled. They're much more like a Sam Darnold. And then along comes Baker. And I don't really know whom you compare him to. Maybe there's a little bit of Brett Favre in him, that gunslinger, cocky attitude. But I wouldn't
Johnny
have thought,
Manziel.
Yeah, so what's the right temperament for a quarterback? I would not have thought he was the prototype, but maybe he is for Cleveland. Maybe they needed somebody to come in and give him a shock jolt, and he is certainly doing that to date.
Yeah, I think that's a good read on him. And but again, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And
yep.
I think over time, you know, he'll be revealed. And you know, let's hope for Cleveland's sake, and let's hope for his sake that it comes out okay. But you know, with guys like that, and Favre early in his career, although there was a charisma about Favre. I remember covering him early in his career. It was just this aw shucks boyishness about him, and he didn't have that Mayfield kind of cockiness to him. It was a little bit of a different kind of swagger, a little bit more, I don't want to say self-confident, just not as forced and not as out there as Baker Mayfield. And Favre just had these tremendous comebacks early on in his career, and then he went on to a Hall of Fame career. So a little bit different, but I can see the comparison. And, you know, I think you mentioned Manziel, and, you know, that's a comparison that they don't want to have.
No, they do not. No.
In Cleveland for him.
All right, well, we've got about 30 seconds. Are you drinking the Patrick Mahomes Kool-Aid? Is he as good as we all think?
I am drunk on the Patrick Mahomes Kool-Aid. Absolutely. Absolutely. He is tremendous. Great to see. Great arm. Great mind. And, wow, so resourceful. This kid is really fun to watch. I think he is the real deal.
And what a great situation. You've got Andy Reid, the perfect coach for you. You've had a year under Alex Smith, you know, just a consummate professional. And look at your weapons. You've got Travis Kelce, Akeem Hunt, Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's set up for success. And he's a superstar athlete.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. And it is all set up for him. Just like you say, the great coach. And Andy Reid develops quarterbacks as well as any coach in the NFL.
That's Bob Glauber. He's a columnist on Newsday. Bob, thanks so much for joining us here on the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
Hey, my pleasure, and thanks for having me. Appreciate it.